Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Because, like, it wouldn't surprise me if he went over to the sideline and got whatever amounts to a tongue lashing. Yep. So these guys have this perception. Everyone loves Mike. He treats me with such respect. Anybody likes working for a boss who treats them like a grown man or a grown woman in any field. But then when they actually find out what his philosophies are, especially if they're an offensive player, a quarterback, I just think the honeymoon ends like very abruptly and very spectacularly.
Mike Tomlin did talk to reporters after minicamp practices came to an end today. And that means the Steelers are now gone. We're not going to see or hear from any of them until they get to Latrobe in late July. So this is like the one break in the NFL schedule that you get. So reporters got their questions in here. About among topics discussed, you're going to hear is what Mike Tomlin said to them about T.J. Watt ending his holdout and showing up at St. Vincent College for training camp. So Nelly now has replaced Donnie, who is off to take
pictures,
engagement pictures. Would you call them?
Not wedding photos. They're not married yet.
So yeah. So this is like the thing where they're like still in regular clothes and they have to like hold hands and hug each other and like fake a laugh. And
Alex and I had them. We took them on an incredibly cold day down on like the Hot Metal Bridge. Like we wanted them in the city and some of the city sites. And oh my God,
we never did
cold. You never did?
Never did them. Thank
where would
God.
You have taken them?
At the sports book. I don't know.
She has it's you putting in a bet, handing over cash while Amanda looks on lovingly. You cheering on like a random result.
Nelly, doesn't that work for you? Would that have been a cool thing? Or just the sports book taking wedding pictures?
I guess on, I don't know, emergency basis.
Nelly, I can
emergency
imagine.
Emergency basis? That's like your number one. That's like your home
if
base
if it really
now.
Came down to it.
Nelly, I can just imagine if you met a girl who you were dating and you thought, she's nice, I like her, I could see myself, you know, going out with her for a
and
while.
Then she and said, let me read you my parlay card.
Or if she said, you know
fall
what
in
I
love instantly.
You know what I really want to do? I want to watch you go put together a 5-leg parlay for college football. I think you'd go out and buy a ring right then and there.
Right then and there. That's how you know. That's my sign.
That's your love language. All right, Nelly, let's hear Mike Tomlin today. Hit it.
You know, today concludes our offseason in an official way, but certainly there's more work to be done. That's the general messaging we left with the team. We just really kind of laid a foundation through this work for 2025, teaching guys and establishing how we go about business, the things that we do to build our environment that creates a space where we all can get better. We emphasize things like physical conditioning preceding anything else. And so now they go off and they continue along those same lines, skill development relative to their position, and just getting ready for Latrobe. This was a football-like environment. When we get to Latrobe, it's going to be a football environment. So there's a difference. We respect that. This work has been good, but we measure the quality of this work and how it tees us up for the real football journey that awaits. But I'm appreciative of the efforts, the participation, the energy brought. It was a good process. I'll pause for questions.
Obviously, you have roster turnover every single year, but how has this year been a bit of a different challenge going through this entire voluntary program and everything?
You know, I don't view it as a challenge, to be quite honest with you. It's a, you know, it's a pleasure from my perspective. I love the multitasking associated with our roles this time of year, talent acquisition, division of labor, development of schematics, player development, coaching and coaching staff development. I just love all the components of the Get Better process.
I know you usually ask the rookies to come in highly conditioned. For a big guy like Derek Harmon, Y.A. Black, is that cardio? Is that lifting? How do you want them to get better?
I describe it as conditioning relative to their positions. And so, you know, for guys like those guys, conditioning means one thing. And, you know, for KJ or Caleb, it means something else. And so they all know what it means because we've been afforded the opportunity to play in football over the last several weeks. And they get a sense of the rigors of their roles. And so, and then they've also had an opportunity to work alongside veterans and see the additional work that they do to aid in the preparation. And so, you know, our goal is to kind of define it for them and to teach them. But they're going to be gaining big-time understanding about that and a lot of other things continually throughout this process, particularly for the young ones, as you mentioned.
Mike, are there any injuries that you anticipate lingering or affecting participation in Latrobe?
No injuries worth mentioning or things that could slow down our progress in terms of reporting to football camp.
Mike, do you expect TJ to be there on July 24th?
You know, I'm not going to get into speculation there. You guys know what negotiations is about. I'm optimistic we're going to get things done because we got two sides that want to get things done. When that's going to occur, I do not know.
You've been in communication with him this week?
There certainly has been communication with him and the communication between he and I, but I have no intentions of sharing any component of it with you guys.
After 1 year, you're going back to the afternoon practices in Latrobe. What made you shift away from the morning?
Wasn't hot enough last year, to be quite honest with you. Heat aids in the development of physical conditioning. It makes it a more stressful environment, and that's what we go to camp for. We go to camp to get better, and if it's a little bit more miserable later in the day, man, that's what we want.
Do you plan to tweak the conditioning test after what happened last year with Russ?
Again, you got to show up to find that out. I'm not going to display details about the conditioning test in this setting.
Cameron,
last one.
Cameron Johnson looks new and improved. What could you say about him coming back after the injury?
I just really appreciate his mindset regarding his rehabilitation, not only the things that you guys get to see out here, but throughout the process. Man, he stayed engaged all year. He was an asset to Corliss and others. He was ever present. He's a true professional, and I respect it.
All right.
That's when you know it's time to take a break for a month and change is when you get a punter question thrown in there.
A punter's conditioning question
of mini camp. Go chronologically, go back to the Watt thing.
Yep.
Cavalli's talked about this. He said this is the only time of year where these guys actually go on vacation. He really thinks the league goes dark basically from the end of this week all the way through to mid-July. So he doesn't expect anything to change with Watt. He doesn't think we'll get breaking news. TJ Watt has signed a contract between now and July 24th. So it's really going to be up to Watt again. Does he want to show up, hold in on a contract that he deems unacceptable? And I do think even though this was mandatory and he technically could get fined over $100,000, there is a difference between mini camp and training camp. Tomlin talked about that. This really isn't football. They put pads on and hit there. Guys get hurt. Roman Wilson got a dirty tackle last year, pretty much derailed his rookie season.
Who made that dirty tackle again?
I think it was Elliott.
It was either Elliott or Minka.
It was one of the safeties. So, I mean, I want to say off the top of my head that this was kind of like a blank fired by Watt just to like let everybody know how he feels. And I actually think he will show up to Latrobe without a new contract and just do the hold-in thing again.
The way they're talking, doesn't it seem like they expect that too? Like they've treated this with this is negotiations, but it's so respectful on their part, and Art Rooney, everything he said, sort of makes it feel that way. I'm also, when you're thinking about the difference between minicamp and training camp, did you happen to see Deuce Staley's random quote about this? It might be my favorite.
No, what'd he say?
So he's the Browns running backs coach.
Okay.
And he was just
mad. How the mighty have fallen with him. He looked like he was ticketed to get like a head coaching gig a couple years ago.
Yeah, so he was the assistant head coach of the Panthers. He was asked about just like if certain guys had shown out. He goes, man, we're playing in pajamas right now. Get back to me about whether so-and-so has done a good job when we put the armor on. And I was just like, how does he not coach under Tomlin?
Well, that's because everybody in Cleveland's freaking out. Like,
I know.
Trading the quarterback stats in minicamp like it's a battle.
I have not seen
battle for survival.
For all I know, by the way, Kenny Pickett could have been throwing dots in practice, and Dylan Gabriel could look like the best quarterback in the draft this year. The only highlights any of the Browns reporters I follow that are they're tweeting out from minicamp are Shedeur Sanders throws. It's wild how that's going. Anyway,
they are talking about how this is like nothing to freak out about. They also did that with Le'Veon Bell, and I know he wasn't under contract and it was a franchise tag. But they're like, oh, it'll all work out. It'll all work out. Yeah, until it didn't. And then it caught everybody off guard. And then dude started freaking out and talking crap. I don't anticipate that happening with TJ Watt. All I'm saying is that they've tried to say, don't touch the alarm bells yet before, and they've been wrong about it.
You know what I would tell people not to underestimate? I guess to add to that a little bit, even though I think it will work out, is if you're just taking it, though, as fait accompli, like this isn't even a story worth monitoring, that kind of deal, I would not underestimate T.J. Watt's personal pride.
I agree.
I would not. Like, I think there's this idea that he's this blood-and-guts Steeler who feels the same way about them as a franchise that they feel about him. And I don't even mean this, by the way, about him as, like, a negative or a shot at him. I think he has more mercenary in him. Like, hey, man, I play a violent game at a violent position, and I want to make one more big payday. I think people should not underestimate
that. I mean, his brother left Houston where he was a god. He's like the biggest football personality there since the Texans came into the league, and he left for money. Texas on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, a person you love from where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We're live at Oakmont Bakery. It's the perfect spot because we're right down the hill from Oakmont Country Club where they're playing the 125th U.S. Open. A great place to stop and see us. On your way home after watching golf or on your way to watch more golf. We have a new leader there to tell you about. We also have Ray Fittipaldo joining us next to wrap up how Aaron Rodgers looked in Steelers minicamp. We'll be right back. It's the PM team. It's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're at quickly becoming one of my favorite places to ever do a road broadcast, the Oakmont Bakery. A nice woman who said, please don't share my name on the air, just stopped by and talked about how much she loved our shows, all of us, not just us.
One of the funniest little anecdotes
and
I've ever heard.
She first thought when she tuned into Ron and Starkey together.
That was the first show she really started listening to at
the
station.
That she thought the name of the show was Cookin' Joe.
Like that's the nickname we gave him.
As in Joe is like cooking up takes. Not that Ron's last name was Cook, which really had us in stitches.
Oh, I love that.
But she couldn't have been cooler.
Very nice. She said she listens because her grandson's a sports obsessive, and when she's hanging out with him, she said, I've got to be current.
That's awesome. I mean, I'm that way with my grandmother, who's 92.
Loves. And she's talking about Luke Carnesecca,
she's a New York
probably.
Knicks fan.
Oh, boy.
So she obviously has hot takes on like everything
Did
that's gone on there.
Did she want Tibbs fired?
I don't think so. I didn't get that sense from her.
I love, by the way, the Knicks have been reaching out about various coaches and getting told they have no permission. And I think our guy Charlie Gorgeous Borges shared the meme of they have reached out to Coach Carter from the movie Coach
denied.
Carter, and they were denied.
Everybody from the Post-Gazette seems to be up at Oakmont, except this next guy who's been with the Steelers all week, and that is Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers insider from the PG, brought to you by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team for over 90 years, LGKG.com. Ray, your first impressions of Aaron Rodgers?
Well, guys, I mean, he didn't do much other than individual, but listen, I think if you just watch him at the tail end of last season and just in the simple throws that he is making during Indy this week, I think the arm is still there. I don't think that's going to be an issue even as he approaches 42 years of age. I guess the one thing that you do have to worry about once you get to the season is can they protect him and how much mobility does he have left? So I think that'll be something to watch in training camp. the development of Broderick Jones, and then once Aaron Rodgers does have to move around a little bit, and we didn't see any of that this week, but once he has to move around in the pocket, what does he have left? I mean, that's what I'll be watching at training camp.
I think it's going to, Ray, when it comes to, like, Arthur Smith and Rodgers, but especially Smith, like, trying to, you know, get a sense from those guys as to whose offense it is, I think it's going to be a lot of mum's the word. I don't think they're going to want to divulge anything. Yeah. Arthur Smith gave a word salad answer when he was asked about audibles and just control of the offense and everything like that. How early do you think we will be able to get a sense just from what we see as to who has the major amount of influence over how that offense looks? Like, do you think that's something by camp? Yeah. Like midway through camp, we're going to know, this looks like Aaron Rodgers' concepts and not the stuff Arthur Smith wants to do?
No, I think we'll know early in the season by October because, you know, Aaron spoke about that when he talked to us the other day. I mean, he's just sitting back and watching now. And I think he said at some point I'm going to make suggestions to Arthur.
Yep.
And he said I'm sure Arthur will put those in. But I don't think he's in that mode yet. I think he wants to see how Arthur's offense works. I think he wants to see how he plays in that offense. And then, obviously, once you start game planning for games, that's when the suggestions will come. So they're not really game planning for any of those preseason games. And really, how many snaps is Aaron Rodgers going to play in the preseason here? 10 to 15, maybe a couple of series. So, I think we'll see that probably September, but more likely October. We'll get a better feel for exactly how that's going to look.
Ray, you were pretty bullish on how you thought Mason Rudolph looked in the first 2 weeks of OTAs. Now, I know you have to couch everything with it's individual work and he's not moving around yet, but do you see a big difference between Mason Rudolph and Aaron Rodgers right now?
Not really, but I mean, it's mini camp and you're throwing on air, or you're throwing on 7-on-7s. I mean, like, Mike is right. I mean, it's cliche. We hear it every year. But what we just saw was football-like, and when we get to training camp in the preseason games, that'll actually be real football. So I don't see a lot of difference in the way either of those guys spin it. You know, the one thing I did notice this spring, no matter who was the quarterback, just a lot of new guys in different positions. Like, DK is new. There's new quarterbacks, and there are – you know, some balls that were on the ground because guys weren't looking for it or guys ran the wrong way. I mean, I think they'll clean that up, obviously, by the time they get to Latrobe. But in terms of just spinning the ball, yeah, I think Mason and Aaron are looking pretty similar right now.
Anybody else jump out during this process who didn't look similar, who looked better than their peers? You know what, I'll ask specifically about Harmon. Did he just come in looking like a guy who had that, you say, who's the first-round pick, and nobody really has to ask because he just looks different than all the other young players? How did he look?
Well, I'll tackle the second part of your question first. I really look at the receivers and the skill guys in these types of settings.
Okay.
A lot of people are noticing Connor Hayward. I agree with that. Calvin Austin, too. And I know there's a lot of people out there saying he can't be a number two. I've been among them, but he's looked really good. So just keep that in your back pocket. And I don't mean to dodge your question about Derek Harmon, but ask me the first day of one-on-ones when he's going up against Troy Faltanu and Broderick Jones. I mean, that's the only way that you can really tell if that guy's going to be ready. You can't really tell anything when you're just out there in shorts as a defensive end.
Ray, the Austin thing I think now is worthy of a follow-up question in light of some other reporting out there about the way the Steelers are approaching going after wide receivers, quote-unquote low-balling teams and trades for wide receivers trying to get one on the cheap. Do you think right now that there's enough confidence in Calvin Austin where we don't see them make another big wide receiver move between now and the start of the season?
Well, I think they're going to do everything in their power to investigate that and to try to acquire another guy, because it doesn't have to be a number two guy. Like, it could be just another depth player, and that could, like, fill out the rotation, and you know, they still might be a better football team if they actually don't go out and get, like, a legit number two. So, people are shooting high. I get it, but it may not be a big name. But, you know, if they don't do that, then it's going to be interesting. Like, Calvin's been working a lot in the slot. He hasn't been outside too much, to be honest with you. So Calvin's a natural slot receiver. Who's going to be on the outside? Is that going to be Roman Wilson? I suppose it could be Roman, but we really haven't seen too much of him, after that injury last year. And then who's left? Robert Woods, who's coming off a down year, all kinds of guys like that. So I think they have to get somebody in here to compete with those guys. But just going back to Austin, even if you want to call him a number three, I mean, the way he's been working the slot, he's been really good. And I think he's going to get a lot of targets and a lot of catches.
Ray, how do you think the T.J. Watt saga continues to unfold here with the only real break these guys take being upon us now, and maybe no news is no news and there's nothing to report for a while? What do you actually think happens with Watt as it pertains to attendance at training camp?
You know, we've been in this, for the last 5 years or so. I think really since COVID, we've had these hold-ins, and it's kind of been no drama, and guys are there, hey, I'm a part of the team, I'm patting you on the back, and I'll see you when I get my contract done. Like, if TJ stays away from training camp, correct me if I'm wrong, that'll be the first holdout since Le'Veon Bell in 2017 and 18. So that's kind of where they would be. I don't think it would be that contentious. I don't think you would hear like guys like Marquise Pouncey bad-mouthing, TJ Watt the way he did Le'Veon Bell, but if you're absent for training camp, that certainly is ratcheting it up a little bit. I don't think anyone in that Steelers front office cared one way or the other if TJ was here this week, to be honest with you guys. So yeah, it would add a little bit different element if they wanted to take a hard line at training camp, but I'm like everyone else. I think it's going to get done eventually. I just can't tell you when.
Ray, I ask you this question in June every year. Who was Ray Fittipaldo's Steelers offseason workout MVP in 2025?
See, as soon as I mention a guy, he's going to get like cut before they even get to training camp. So, but like, listen, the one guy I've noticed, and it's not anybody who's been on the team before, and I'm not going to give you a draft pick, but there is an undrafted free agent out of South Dakota State, tight end. His last name is Galbraith. I'm not even sure what his first name is, but he's number 87. Moves around really good. I don't know if he can block. We're not seeing these guys block too much, but he's a pretty big athlete. He's a pretty fluid athlete. So that's one guy I want to watch at training camp. I don't know if there's a spot for him on the team, but kind of an under radar guy going to camp, Galbraith from South Dakota State. So there you go.
All right,
next week, by the way.
I got to ask you the opposite then. Who's the guy who you expected to see more of or better play from who disappointed you or didn't meet your expectations in offseason workouts?
It's with them not being in pads, that's such a hard question. I will tell you this. I'll tell you guys I am going to watch the first week or two of training camp that I want to see some results from. And I could pretty much name every returning defensive lineman other than Cam Hayward and Keanu Benton. So if you want to say DeMarvin Leal, you want to say Isaiah Loudermilk, Dean Lowry, a lot of those guys are going to be playing for jobs on the 53-man roster. They went out and got two draft picks. Both those guys are going to be on the roster. I think there's going to be a lot of competition for guys like Leal once they get to Latrobe.
All right, Ray. Thank you so much. We ran into a lot of your counterparts up at the U.S. Open. Malzi tried to say hello to Dulac twice, got blown off twice. I said immediately, hey, what's up, Jerry? And he said, hey, Pony, and gave me a pound. So I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, man. Chris, I'll never blow you off. You know that.
I appreciate that. And really, I wasn't too mad that Jerry did. Well, so I'll say publicly at least.
See you, Ray.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
There you go. Ray Fittipaldo.
Maybe I didn't say hello loud enough. Now I think
now you're implying because Jerry's an older man that his hearing is gone.
No, I think I'm just going to stick with the likeliest probability, which is that Jerry thinks I'm an a-hole.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We are live at Oakmont Bakery right down the hill from where they're playing the U.S. Open. Still a lot of golf out there. It's only 5:20. They'll probably play till close to 8 o'clock. And there's still a possibility that we have a new leader, first-round leader by the end of the day. Jeff Hathorn going to join us next from the course. But first, a Nelly headline.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
All right, it is time for an Oakmont Minute. It's time for a check of what's going on at the U.S. Open with our guy Jeff Hathorn, who I believe is on the line right now. Jeff, are you there?
I am here, Pony. You by yourself there?
No, Malsy's next to me, too. Sungjae Im.
There was only one of you that was acknowledged.
Oh, Jeff.
Good job.
Jeff, why must you do this to me?
Sungjae Im is on the golf course at 4-under. He's through 12. He's got a half dozen holes here left, Jeff, to take the lead. Explain how the pride of Korea, Sungjae Im, is now in contention here to shoot an incredible score at Oakmont on day one.
He absolutely is. And, you know, he went through the back nine on 32. And, you know, he's got that – you probably, if you've watched golf, you've seen him. He's the one with the really slow backswing and kind of pauses and then hits through it. Well, after just destroying that back nine, he went to the front, birdied one. Birdie two. Then he went to church and ended up with a bogey. Now he's over the green after trying to avoid the church on number four and is going to have a tough up and down to stay at 4 under par. And you got some other guys, most notably Sam Burns, who has been playing some really good golf this year. He is at 3 under par. And, oh, look, John Rahm just eagled number four, and he is 2 under.
Rahm is the one that would, if I were like somebody with a Scottie Scheffler to win ticket right now, Rahm is the one name of guys who are under par who would make me nervous because of all those players.
Rahm's now the favorite at 4-1. He's passed Scheffler on the FanDuel board.
My point exactly. Of all those players, he is the one who is talented enough, even on this course, if he gets it going, to run away and hide from the field, even a guy like Scottie.
And as you were saying that, Rahm just hit one that nearly flew into the hole from about 160 yards out, and he's got about a 10-footer for birdie to get to 3 under. And, you know, Patrick Reed is a guy that people like. He's a one under. Now, that
no, they don't.
Balsy
said he's
deceiving.
Like the most maligned, hated player on the tour, Jeff.
He is. He means
that they like to actually compete in this tournament.
Oh, like they're picking him to win.
Yeah, I like Reed this week.
But I thought like that Reed like he's a fan favorite.
No.
But Reed had an albatross today, only the fourth in U.S. Open history, which means he had a two on a par five. So he's one under, but a lot of it was done at that one hole.
Jeff, what's going on with Scheffler?
It's just kind of like meh, Scheffler. Mm. But meh, Scheffler is still just one over.
Nice two over now, Jeff.
Five
just
shots off the
13.
Lead.
So now he's dropped to six.
He's not
back.
Playing great, but he's not at least, you know, putting himself in very much harm's way. I mean, he's still, even at two over, you're within six of the lead. It's going to get tougher. These guys are going to get the morning tomorrow, which should be an advantage. Get a little dew on those greens because, man, with another day tomorrow where it looks like there's going to be no rain, that should favor the ones that are playing now to get the opportunity to play again in the morning.
I saw Brooks Koepka also, Jeff. He missed a putt to drop back to even. It was probably a four-foot par putt, and I will tell you this much. Those are the putts that guys like Koepka or anybody that wins a tournament like this, they just don't miss them in a U.S. Open. That's what Koepka did, like, better than anybody when he was winning some of those tough PGAs or tough U.S. Opens. He made all of them.
We're also burying a pretty big lead here now.
What's the big lead?
Did you just say that Scheffler bogeyed 13?
He just bogeyed 13,
That's
yes.
The hole that Starkey talked about for 4 hours today, that when he went out and played Oakmont, it was the only hole he parred. So now tomorrow...
Oh, he's
we're
better.
We're going to hear that Joe got a hole, scored better on a hole at Oakmont than the world's number one golfer.
You know what? Fine, I'm going to flex on Joe. You know what I can say? One of the three times I went out and played Oakmont, I parred number three, the church pews. I also parred number four, and I parred number two.
And Scheffler went a combined plus one on those holes, Malzy. He bogeyed three, and he bogeyed four.
Boom. Look at that. I went through that stretch.
So the moral of the story
Scottie
here
Scheffler.
Is Joe Starkey is better than Scottie Scheffler.
Joe, by the way, probably haunted a local public course right after the show, Jeff, if you can believe it. He was clearly ready to be done because he was thinking about golf, but he was not thinking about driving literally up the hill to Oakmont or walking there. He was asking all of us the closest public golf courses to play today.
What did you tell him?
It was like Bird's Foot, you know, Murraysville if you go across. But whatever course got him, I'm sure it was their privilege to have Joe Starkey on the grounds. Jeff, any other...
You should have sent him to the field club and told him, oh, just go ahead up and tee off and tell him you know me.
Jeff, there are 13 guys that have played right now. They're not all in the clubhouse, but 13 guys are currently under par. And we've got two at four under. I know it's still early, but if you now had to guess the score... of the player who wins the U.S. Open, what would it be?
If I had to guess right now,
yeah,
it's going to be, especially with potential for rain Saturday and Sunday, I mean, we could be looking at 5, 6, 7 and probably an entire grounds crew that's going to be looking for a job at the end of this tournament.
Man.
I mean, they can't control the weather, Jeff. I think tomorrow is going to be hugely determinative with this because if it continues to dry out to the degree that it already has, I think some of these shots you're seeing where guys are able to control it with some spin are going to check up 5 or 6 feet past the point that they have today. I think you're going to see fewer birdies, and I do think you're going to see more bogeys. So I could actually – here, Jeff, I'm going to make a small prediction here. I think there's a very real chance that the 36-hole leader has a worse score than the 18-hole leader does right now. I think it could go backwards tomorrow, and it'd be like a 36-hole leader is only 3 or 2 under. That's rare.
See,
I know
I would
what
agree
I'm
with
describing,
you.
But I think that could happen.
If I knew it was going to be dry the rest of the weekend, I might agree with you. But, man, you bring some precipitation back to this
no,
course.
He's saying,
I'm saying just tomorrow. I'm saying when we get halfway through this tournament.
I got you.
Yeah, because I don't think we're going to get rain tomorrow. And I just looked this up. In 94, when it was super hot and dry the entire week, Jeff, you were there for it.
I was.
22 golfers were par or better. In the opening round. That's the best ever at Oakmont. Right now, we're at 24. 24 golfers are even par or better. So it would break that record.
I do think.
Why do you think that is?
If you're asking me first, I do think some of these guys are having very accurate days off the tee, and that is a massive part of the test at Oakmont, more so than at like a regular tour course.
So it's not something about the course. You're just crediting the golfers.
I do
here.
Think the golfers who are playing well are really playing great golf. Like, they're hitting fairways, and Oakmont is not. I guess my point here is it is not an impossible golf course for these guys if they're playing from the fairways, but it's very tough to regularly play from the fairways. And I think Jeff would probably back me on this, that the big difference or the equalizing factor is if you miss a fairway here, bogey's almost a guarantee for a lot of these guys, and then double bogey easily comes into play. And I think that's where you see, even when they're making birdies, Jeff, they're not able to stack them and really go low on that course.
And I would agree with that and add that even though they've moved the tees back, technology is so much different than, say, 94. And these guys can just hit it so far. And, I mean, it's I'm not saying it's unfair. It's just it makes it harder to make golf courses because technology is incredible.
Jeff, I mean, I'll say this. Fred Perpall, who is the USGA CEO, or the president, excuse me, of the USGA, I thought he delivered – in that sense, a very interesting speech earlier where he just basically said, if we want to make the game, I think, more accessible and more practical, like, it can't keep going this direction where we have to have bigger and bigger courses. It'll just be too much money on every front to take more land, build longer holes for these pros. And that sounded to me like a pretty strong advocacy for a rollback of the golf ball and of maybe the technology in clubs, too.
And he's echoing what Jack Nicklaus has said for a long time. Is that it's just getting out of control to your point. I mean, how many courses are landlocked like the Masters where you can only go so far back? And those guys hate seeing scores like you see. And then what you end up doing, you end up tricking these golf courses to where it's just kind of goofy. And you don't want to get to that point with major championships because guys are shooting 15, 20 under.
Jeff Hathorn, The Hawk Report, live from Oakmont. He'll be on with Malzi from 6 to 7 for the Going Low Oakmont wrap-up show. Thank you, Jeff. Great stuff today.
Thanks, guys.
We're live.
This Oakmont update was brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions, Brookline.com, and Aircraft Management Group.
I'm surprised it took until now for that to happen today.
You were on your game, man. It was like, but it's like being at Oakmont. Now you just take your bogey and move on. Don't get cute.
Hodgepodge is next. We're live at Oakmont Bakery. Come down and see us when you're done watching golf and grab some dessert or grab something to take home to the wife and kids after you spent all day baking out in the sun watching golf.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. Now 70 degrees over at Oakmont as things have cooled off considerably. Temperatures will pick back up tomorrow, late morning, early afternoon, into the 80s. And it looks like another dry day of golf for our national championship of golf over at Oakmont. And that is Fan Weather, brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. It's now time for the Hodgepodge, brought to you by Two Men and a Junk Truck.
This is the Hodgepodge of nothingness.
Thank you. Visit them at twomenandajunktruck.com. Malzi, game three of the NBA Finals last night. TJ McConnell did something that had never been done in the history of the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. He put together a stat line of points, assists, and steals that had never happened before. 10-plus points, 5-plus assists, 5-plus steals. He stole the inbounds pass twice in the game that immediately led to either him scoring a basket or someone else on the Pacers scoring. He was a ball of energy. The entire arena was chanting his name. His dad, Tim, was shown in the crowd multiple times going crazy for his son. I believe it's the greatest moment by a Pittsburgher in basketball history, just for a game. I mean, we've seen other guys from here either win national championships in college basketball or play in the NBA. Maurice Lucas was a better player than TJ McConnell and was on that Blazers team in the 70s with Bill Walton. But
just thinking if there's like...
I don't think he had a game like McConnell where afterwards people were saying, hey, the guy that was the spark plug for Indiana, the catalyst for them winning the game was TJ McConnell, a Pittsburgh dude.
I was just trying to think of during like Cam Johnson's run with the Phoenix Suns when they were really good, did he ever have like a major moment of that nature? And honestly, nothing.
Not like
comes
last
up.
Night, man.
Yeah, well, that team that made the final, the NBA Finals that he was part of, he was more of like their sixth man. He was their sixth leading scorer. I mean, McConnell
is not the sixth leading scorer for Indiana, but he's
probably one of their.
He comes through in some big moments.
Yeah, he's one of their most important players coming off the bench. He and Mathurin. Those two usually are the bench energy guys. Mathurin.
How about Obi Toppin? He's another one.
He's another guy.
I mean, he had a big game last night.
They get contributions from everywhere, not just Halliburton. I think the five steals is obviously like the thing that makes it historic because a ton of guys.
But
come
they could
the
not stop TJ McConnell. It's hilarious. This is the best team in the NBA. They won 68 games, I think. And
he's just a very productive player when he's on the court, either getting people open looks. The thing that
I just love it.
The thing that I don't understand how it's plausible. He does. He'll shoot the occasional open three if they leave him wide open, and he's good enough at it that he can't be left wide open. He's not like Ben Simmons, but he doesn't shoot the three like to a crazy extent. He does the little keep his dribble, get into like the 18 to 16 foot area, and then he shoots that. I'm holding on to it right to the very last second jumper. How guys in the NBA have not managed to stop that is beyond me. But
he's quicker than he gets credit for.
He's a much better athlete. He's not a small guy. I think they're calling him like a 6-footer. I think he's closer to 6'2". And he's probably a .185, .190.
I think it's an awesome story.
Well, if they win it all, he'll be a major contributor to an NBA champion.
Yeah, he'll be a cult hero there for the rest of his life in a city and a state that
loves
treats basketball like a religion.
Yep.
Exactly.
It's like football is here in high school. I mean, that's why they have that tournament. That's why Hoosiers got made.
I mean, it's also just a testament to his work ethic and stick-to-itiveness. Like, he was not a huge recruit out of high school. When he went to Duquesne, I don't think anybody expected that he would then become like a major Division I player. He went to Arizona with Sean Miller. And then
Jamie wanted nothing to do with him as a recruit.
I just
hit.
Felt like, okay, he'll get a look from an NBA team, but he won't stick. He'll be a guy that goes and plays in Europe for 15 years and makes a great living. And instead, he's a driving force behind a team potentially winning an NBA championship.
One thing I do want to say about him, because I just always feel like in his case it gets downplayed, he is incredibly talented.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's major talent. What I think he deserves a ton of credit for, and being a coach's kid, I think he knows the game inside and out. He did, though, physically turn himself into, like, an NBA-level, like, physical athlete. He's obviously not going to be sitting there doing reverse dunks on people.
I know what you're saying.
But he was so spindly. He was 5'0", 110. He made Craig Riley look, like, obese his freshman year at Char Valley.
He made Adam Crowley look ripped.
Right, exactly. And he really did work his way into creating a body that would hold up to the rigors of an NBA season. Because you know this. Maybe our listeners don't. You never sit courtside or close to it or close to an NBA game. It's ultra physical, even for guards. Like, you have to be able to take bumps and bruises and beatings to actually thrive.
Next!
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
All right, this is a weird one here. We get the Barrett Media email blasts all the time.
Which is like a trade letter for people that work in sports radio.
TV radio, stuff like that. Evening Edition, Pat McAfee Show, quote, banned NFL insider Adam Schefter from program. And this is it's a bunch of Andrew Marchand reporting about, like, some of the stuff that might have gone on behind the scenes with McAfee and Schefter. But this is sort of a weird little paragraph here, Pony, that I wanted your reaction to.
Okay.
Furthermore, Marchand later explains in his reporting that McAfee is having some conversations about starting his own version of College Game Day. He also recounts an incident when McAfee grew upset during an airing of College Game Day in Norman, Oklahoma last year, when he was shown swinging and missing during a segment of the program, I guess softball, because they have a great softball
yep.
team. According to Marchand, now this is one side of it, McAfee demanded to know the name of the producer who put the content on the air but was denied that information. Now, an ESPN, their content president, Burke Magnus, said that this is basically like just slander. Not slander, but they said it's people trying to knock Pat down because they're jealous.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. That story that seems awfully specific to be just completely fabricated, I always tend to think that the truth there might at least be somewhere in the middle, if not a little bit closer to actually what's being reported. If that is what Pat McAfee got upset about, Pony,
no, sorry.
They showed a little bit of him swinging and missing against a great softball pitcher.
We're on the air right now.
I think that's a really bad look for him if that's actually what happened. And then he's asking who's the producer that allowed this to go on the air so he can chew them out. I know you're friendly with Pat, and I know that we're not trying to sit here and crush him from afar.
Especially because where he grew up is not that far away from here.
But that whole, that little bit here in this story just struck me as so strange, because that strikes me, let me put it this way, as something that, name a nightmare sports personality who's got like a reputation for being high maintenance.
I don't know why, but I just think of that Bill O'Reilly thing where
sure.
he's like, we'll do it live.
Okay, right. Like abusing the people who are just like the lower paid workers on the set. Pat's whole persona is that he's one of the guys and he's fun and he wouldn't act that way.
Yeah.
If that's true, I think that's a bad look.
My own
him.
Personal experiences with him have been great.
Like, you're okay,
I mean,
Pat, you're not supposed to be able to hit the softball if that's what it is. No one cares that you swung and
missed.
I mean,
look at what he did for Cabale. Not that Mark's a charity case. I mean, he's a great reporter, but, you know, bringing him onto the team. I do think, to give the counterpoint, I do think a lot of people are jealous of him. That he's risen to the top of the sports media ladder, that he's made so much money. And I think when that happens, people do look for ways to cut you down.
No doubt, but like, Marchand is a veteran industry reporter.
Sure.
I doubt he's getting that from one source and deciding that's good enough to run with.
I don't know. He could if he trusted the person.
But he
I mean, it makes
me
good copy.
Somebody...
I mean, it's salacious. It's controversial.
I know, but your reputation's a little bit on the line if somebody can definitively prove that you
You're
aren't
right.
telling the truth.
You're right about that.
So that's all. I took note of it because it was just such a strange little aside in a story that's overall just kind of about the inner workings of Pat's show.
I mean, you did kind of, though, gloss over the big story. Why was Adam Schefter banned from Pat
the
McAfee's
way that the
show?
I know. Well, I wasn't as interested.
What's that all about?
I guess he's going to be back on the show. But
I want to ask Cabale about that the next time I see him.
The way it was reported was that they wanted him on for some draft special, and Schefter, as the story writes it, just couldn't make it.
And he's been
banned as a result of not being available.
Do you know Cook used to do that to people?
Ban them?
Well, if you agreed to go do an interview with Ron and then something came up, you were dead to him.
Yeah, I think that's
like something
absurd.
Something happened with Zeiss, I remember, where Paul agreed to like help him with something and couldn't, and then Ron didn't talk to him for like a year because of it. Pompeiani didn't pick up the phone for like a weekend show one time, and he was dead to Ron.
Well, I don't think this is a big surprise coming from me that I would be saying this, but I think that makes Ron look like a complete just buffoon, ridiculous
Next.
Person.
This is a hodgepodge of nothing.
Malzy, if you could get a mulligan on your U.S. Open prediction, and now that we have almost all of the first round scores in,
yeah.
Who would you now pick to win the tournament?
Ooh.
Right at this very second.
You know what? If I could get a mulligan, which implies that I wouldn't take the same guy again, or no?
You could take the same guy if you want. I don't care.
No, I won't do that because Scheffler needs to show me something before he comes in here and get to at least plus one. I'd probably take Rahm right now. Best resume by far of the guys that are within three shots of the lead or four shots. Or the guys that are in red numbers, Rahm easily has the most accomplished resume, so I would take him.
I want to say Spieth.
Oh, I think I don't trust that at all.
Me neither.
I don't trust him.
But I'm
one
like
iota.
It's the sentimental pick for me because it's been such a long time since he's been relevant in one of these tournaments, and I think that make for a great story.
I mean,
he's only three back.
He has not top 10'd at the U.S. Open since he won it at Chambers Bay, which is just think about like how much he got talked about in the golf world at that time. Not even so much as a top.
Oh, he was looked 10. At as the guy that could like. Reasonably attack
like some
Jack's records
yeah.
and the he next was, great golfer after Tiger. He
I
was
know, the,
right up there
the
for,
problem with
for
him
a while.
Was he was doing it like using practically the dark arts. He was making like 30-foot. He was making 30-footers like they were 4-footers. It was sick.
He has 5 birdies on his round and 4 bogeys today. Went started on the back 9, got out in 35, played it even, and is 1-under on the front 9 with 3 holes to go.
Pretty good.
All right. More coming up here from Oakmont Bakery, our Going Low wrap-up show with Malzy and Jeff. All kinds of interviews and reports from Oakmont. We'll all be back here tomorrow at 2 to break down day 2 of the U.S. Open. PM team signing off.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.